Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Well, it's great to be in church today. Amen. Good to see all your smiling faces. Glory to God. Don't you just love worship? I just love to worship God, and we're so blessed to have such a great team of people who sacrifice a lot to be able to lead us into praise and worship. And so I'm so appreciative of our praise team. They work so hard. And doesn't it inspire you that our praise team is filled with so many young people? Amen. It just inspires me. Sometimes you can look at the news and the world and think, man, what's going to happen? But then I come to church and I see these strong, on fire for God, willing to make the sacrifice young people. And I'm just like, we're going to be okay. Amen. We're going to be okay. Amen. Because, a lot of people are like, oh, the church is, going downhill and all this kind of stuff. Let me tell you something about the church. More people attend Jesus churches, and we're not talking about every church, talking about Christian churches. More people attend Christian churches every single Sunday than attend every sporting event there is. That's a true fact. And, sometimes people think, the church is dying, the church is this. No, the church is strong. Amen? Can it be stronger? Of course, but the church is strong. And I'm so thankful that I know for our church that we are multi-generational. I'm thankful for that. I don't have to lay awake and worry about what's going to happen to the church when I'm gone, because I just look and see all these young people and think it's going to be better than it is now. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. But that's a whole nother note. I don't know why I'm talking about that. Turn over to Galatians. Who's ready to get into Galatians again? I hope you're enjoying this study. I hope it's been a blessing to you. And we're just going through Galatians. And today we're going to skip ahead a little bit. We're going to go to chapter 5. We're going to go out of order a little bit. There's reasons for my madness. Amen. I can't even find Galatians. They moved it. Here it is. Don't you hate that when they move it in your Bible? It's like, I knew it was here. I know it was here yesterday. It's there, right? That's when you use an electronic, it finds it for you. But I encourage you, don't let an electronic device be your only Bible. Amen? Amen? That's just my own personal thing there, but I'm not even going to go there. Let's just keep going. So, because I got limited time today. We have communion this morning, correct, Pastor Devon? Yes, we have communion. I love communion. And we got a great message, and we want to get everybody out of here on time. But over here in Galatians chapter 5, let's just pick up where we've left off. And we know this is Paul writing to the church in Galatia, and he's writing to the Galatians, and they have a problem. How many know sometimes, even though the church is awesome and the church is great, churches still have problems, right? It's like people say, well, I'm looking for the church that does this, 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 and this, and doesn't do anything wrong. That church doesn't exist. Churches are imperfect because you go to them. Amen? Because I go to them. Churches are filled with people. People are not perfect, and so the church is never going to be perfect. There's always going to be a time where somebody doesn't say hi to you, I say something you don't like, or there's always going to be that time, but you have to recognize it for what it is. It's just the enemy's trying to take an opportunity where someone is imperfect and cause division. Amen? And that's what he tries all the time. He's always trying to divide, but God's a unifier. Amen? Whenever anything tries to divide by any means, you have to look at it and say, you know what? God's not in that. Because God is a unifier. Jesus brings us together. And so when we're talking about church, we've got to understand that, the person to your right, the person to your left, one day they're going to have a bad day. They're going to come in grumpy. They're not going to say hi to you. They're not going to notice your new haircut. They're not going to notice anything about you because they're so consumed with themselves, and you're going to have your feelings hurt or whatever. You got to recognize, like, hey, pastor told me that day was coming. I recognize it, and I'm just going to move on from here. Amen. I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to get bent out of shape. I'm just going to recognize, hey, church is filled with imperfect people. That's why I get to come. Amen. Everybody's looking for the perfect church, but if you found it, you wouldn't be able to go there. right? They look and be like, nope, you can't come in. And so you always got to recognize. So the church of Galatia, they're having a problem, just like every church has a problem. But their problem is pretty big. They're having a big problem. Because what they're doing is they're trying to, they've let some people come in that are preaching stuff that is contrary to the word. And so these people come in, and so the church of Galatia, it was set up properly. It was set up according to the word because Paul set it up. But then this other group, this super spiritual group from Jerusalem, you know, I love super spiritual people. Sometimes it's like as soon as somebody comes in and they're like super spiritual, in my mind I'm thinking, oh, help me, Jesus. You know, because a lot, and this is what I mean by that. People that are, they want to talk more about how spiritual they are than how good God is. Amen. That's what I mean by that. It's great to be all out spiritually. Amen. We all want to be all out. But if all you're talking about is how spiritual you are, there's a problem there. Amen. Because, you know, I love that line in the song. I've been just meditating on it ever since I heard it. You're who we came for. Amen. We came for Jesus. We came to hear the word. You didn't come here to hear my opinion. Amen. My opinion doesn't matter. The word of God matters. Amen. And what it says matters. And so these guys come in from Jerusalem. They're super spiritual. And they come in and they're bringing in this push. And they're saying, oh, no, no, we're Christians. But to be a Christian, you still must obey the law. They're telling these Christian men that they have to be circumcised, that they have to obey the rules of the Old Testament of the law, which started out as 10, but by the time people got done with it, there's over 600 rules in the Old Testament. Can you imagine getting up in the morning and having a list of 600 things you had to do or not do? That would be, I would just stay home. But then I'd be breaking the rule because you're not supposed to just stay home, right? I'm just going back to bed. Then you're a sluggard. You can't go back to bed. You got to get up, right? That's a Bible word, sluggard. You can look that up. And so they're bringing all these rules. They're bringing all this back. And so Paul gets wind of this because Paul's already moved on. He's starting another church. He gets wind of this and he writes them a letter. This is a Paul letter, and he writes them a letter, and he says, oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has fooled you? Who has tricked you into believing something that isn't true? And so all through here, Paul's talking about what's important, and that if you take Jesus out of Christianity, you don't have Christianity anymore. Amen. If you bring the rules and in order to be a Christian, you have to follow the rules and do all these things, you're taking, what good is Jesus, Paul says. And so we're going to pick it up here in Galatians chapter 5. Last week we talked a lot about the grace of God. How many love the grace of God? The grace of God, God's riches at Christ's expense. Oh, that's good, isn't it? That's so good. God's riches at Christ's expense, not at your effort. And that's what religion tries to bring in, is saying it's at your effort. No, it's at what Jesus has done. And so here we pick it up in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. And it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. He's talking about the law. He says, mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, listen, Christ will be of no value to you at all. What is he saying? He said, if you go back to the law, then Christ is of no value to you. If you go back to the old way, you're saying this new and living covenant is not for you. It's not enough for you. And that's what we do. When we get into that works mentality, when we get into that, oh, I gotta be good, I gotta do good. If I'm not doing good, if I'm not being good, then God doesn't love me, God doesn't care about me, God doesn't want me. You gotta come to church, you gotta say these prayers, you gotta memorize these verses in order to go to heaven. We're saying that what Jesus did is not enough. And we're saying there's no value, that we have to do more. And let's just stop and think for a second how this kind of gets into our lives here. And this is how it gets into our lives here today. When we carry shame, when we carry a feeling of that we're no good, when we think that we have to earn the forgiveness of God, when we think as long as I'm 51% good, I'm okay. It's all about what I do. Then Paul's saying, listen, if you go to the outside man, if you go to what's happening on the outside, a circumcision is an outside thing. He's saying, if you allow yourself to be circumcised, if you allow something done in the physical to determine what happens in the spiritual, then Christ is of no value to you. Because Jesus came, he's done a circumcision of our heart. God works on the inside, but how many know people always want to work on the outside? On the outside. And that's why it's so important that we as believers, that we are more inside aware than outside aware. How many know somebody can look like they're doing okay? They can look like they're doing okay, but on the inside, they can be broken and hurting and in pain. But if we just keep putting on the show on the outside and thinking that's enough, we're outside-minded. When Jesus wants to do a work on the inside. And that's what Paul's trying to tell them here. He's saying, if you let yourself be circumcised, then Christ is of no value to you at all. Let's keep reading. He says, again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Let's just stop right there. How many have ever heard that saying? Oh, they fell from grace. Like little sweet old ladies say that, right? They fell from grace. What did they usually mean by that? Oh, they did bad things. They did bad things and they're in trouble. But really what Paul is saying, you've fallen for grace because now you're not operating in grace anymore. You're operating in your own works. That's what that means. You've fallen from grace. He's saying you've fallen from grace. And so he says, for through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. Has no value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Just a little bit of that is going to ruin the whole thing. And as I was reading this, you know, how many Olympics junkies do we have? Loving the Olympics. I'm loving it. And when I was reading this, I thought, oh, that's like the women's 4x100, when the U.S. team, how many saw it, where they got there? Who cut you off? Who cut you off? That's what happened. The girl, she was getting ready to, and isn't it awesome that those four girls, that when they ended up winning, has anybody got this TiVo? Do you want me to tell you what happened? Okay. Well, they win the gold. This is for the relay. But here's what happened in the qualifying. We went to breakfast after prayer the other day, and we're all glued to the TV, and we see what happens. She goes to hand off the baton in the relay. She goes to hand it off, and everything gets messed up. And so they're done. They finish. They have to finish, but they come in very last place. But here's what happened. Somebody cut her off. She had contact from the other team, and it threw everything off. And that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, he says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? And so as I was watching that, and I thought, oh man, that is so sad. These girls, all of them are believers. And when they won the gold, they all prayed together in the name of Jesus. Isn't that powerful? But when they were running that qualifying heat and that happened, she goes to, and the other girl comes in, Paul's saying, who has cut you off? But here's the good news about the grace of God. The grace of God, because, you know, that team, they filed a whatever, you know, they filed and they got to run in the race anyway. And they ended up winning. And that's exactly how God is. If somebody has cut you off and you've gotten in wrong thinking, if you're out of your lane, if you're somewhere you don't want to be, you just need to go right to the throne of grace and file something. Amen. Go right there and just say, Lord, I am here to file my repentance. I am here to file for forgiveness. And he gives it to us and he lets you run again. Amen. He lets you run again. God, you know, I love how God just teaches me through everything that's in life. As I was watching that and I saw those girls win and I had been studying this, I'm like, somebody cut you off, but God let you back in. Amen? And that's exactly what happens with us. We can get caught just a little bit of this wrong thinking. It's like you say, well, how do I know if I have it? Here's the biggest indicator. Look at your neighbor and say, listen. Listen. This is one of the biggest indicators. If you're letting works, if you're letting the law, if you're getting Galatianized, we should make that a word. We should make that a word. If you're getting Galatianized, if you're getting fooled, is if you carry shame. Shame says, I can't get back to where I was. Shame says, I'll never be good again. Shame says, there's nothing that can help. I've done wrong and nothing can help me. It's shame. And this world is filled with people who they don't know what it is. They don't know what it's called, but they're living it where they just never feel like they are enough. They never feel that they are forgiven, that they are loved, that they are cared for, that they are cherished, that they are empowered, that they are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a child of God. They never feel that because the enemy constantly brings up the mistakes they've made, constantly tells them, you're not enough. If that's you, this letter is for you. Paul's saying it doesn't matter whether you've been circumcised or not. He's saying it doesn't matter what has happened on the outside. It matters is that you let Jesus circumcise your heart. Amen. Amen? You let Jesus come in and do what he does. Let's keep going. And so when we see this, and then I want you to turn over to Galatians. We're going to read 13. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Now that we know that we're free, he says in verse number one, he says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Christ set us free from what? The law. We've been set free from that. We've been set free from it. And so he tells us, Paul tells us in verses 1-9, he says, listen, you've been set free from that. It doesn't matter if you're circumcised. It doesn't matter if you're not. It doesn't matter. What matters is what Jesus has done. That is all that matters. But then he says here in verse number 13, remember, this is a letter to the people. They got some problems and Paul's straightening them out. And he says, you, my brothers and sisters, so he's talking to the church. He's talking to people just like us. He says, we're called to be free. Somebody say the next word. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Boy, isn't that what we see today? That is so what we see today. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. And that's what we're going to talk about today, living by the Spirit. That's where we are. We don't live by the law. We live by the Spirit. And so he says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious, and he lists them. He says sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, many people misrepresent this term, that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's used a couple of other times. If you do this, then you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so they say that to say that if you do these things, you will not go to heaven. You're not going to go to heaven. But that's not what that means. How many know when you interpret the Bible, you must interpret the Bible by the whole Bible. You can't pick certain things out and say, oh, this is what this means. You have to interpret the word by the word. The word will interpret itself if you let it. It's like a conversation. If you ever had a conversation and somebody took just a little tiny bit of what you said and made it seem like you were saying something totally different. And that's exactly what happens with the word of God a lot of times. Somebody will take just a tiny bit of it and make it you seem like you're saying something totally different. And then they're going to make a sign and they're going to stand up somewhere and they're going to give God a bad name. You can't do that. You got to first interpret from the character of God. The character of God is love. He said he's not willing that any will perish. Amen? And so when it says this, because you know what? If that's true, that you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, I think a lot of us would be in some trouble. Let's not look around. Don't do this. Right? And you're like, well, I've never been to an orgy. Okay. But have you ever had a fit of rage? See, we always want to go to the extreme and be like, oh, you're not going into heaven. My God, of course you're not going to heaven. That's obvious, right? We want to be like, that's obvious. But yet we want to be, you know, having, you know, I call it your head spinning around. Where you're just flying off the handle and your head's spinning around and you're yelling and cursing and getting all mad. And then you want to come to church and be like, hallelujah. Be like, but I haven't done those other things. I haven't done those other, but what did Paul say? He said, if you're going to live by the law, then you got to keep the whole law. You can't just pick out the stuff that you think is okay. Isn't that what we Christians do? I mean, we're ready to just tell somebody at the front door, you cannot come in. But yet we'll let every liar that looks good come in. Isn't that the truth? That's the truth. That is not godliness. Because what are we doing? We're looking at the outside, and we don't know about all those lies. We don't know about that, but somebody who's going to be real and say, hey, listen, this is where I'm at, this is what I'm dealing with, but I want to come to church. We're like, oh, no. Right? And so that's what Paul's talking about. He's saying, listen, you know, all this stuff. So when it says you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, it doesn't mean, because here's how I know that. Because John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Believes on him. Listen, there's a lot of believers with a lot of hangups. There's a lot of believers that are struggling. There's a lot of believers that maybe don't look like believers at the moment. And Paul's talking to them. He's saying, listen, you can't keep living by the flesh. Because when you do, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. And according to Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom of God is God's way. It's if you live in God's kingdom, you go his way. Amen? And when you go his way, you get his blessing. You get what God has for you. So I would say my translation of this, it would say that it's not God's best. If you're going to be doing all this crazy, you know what? You're not going to have the kingdom of God. You're not going to have God's best. You're not going to have the blessing of God. God loves you because God's love for you never changes. I remember my favorite instructor at Rhema, when I was there, he said something and I have never forgotten it, because when I, you know, being raised in more of a denominational environment and then just kind of going off the deep end, I was very sin conscious, and I had some doozies. You know, I got some doozies in my past. You know what a doozy is, right? I mean, there's not a word big enough for how big it is, so you just call it a doozy. It's big. It's big. I had some doozies in my past. Maybe you're here today and you've got some too. Amen. Maybe they're ones that nobody knows about and nobody can see, but you know, and you were there. You were there. And so I had some big things, and the enemy would always try to bring these up. He'd always bring up the big ones, you know? He'd always bring up those big ones. And just would, and then wrong teaching. You know, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. And I thought, man, I'm going to hell. I've done some of these. I'm going to hell. Because isn't that what people say? But I'll never forget this instructor. He said this, and I thought, I grabbed a hold of it. It changed my life. Changed my life. He said, no one is in hell because of a certain sin. Sin does not send you to hell. If it did, we'd all be there. The wages of sin is death. That's true. He said the only reason, and I knew this truth, but just the way he put it, man, it straightened me. I was a crooked path, and he straightened me. He said the only reason that someone is in hell is because they did not receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that what we all believe? That's what we all believe. Then why do we keep telling people they're going to hell because of a sin? Now listen, I'm not saying sin's a good idea. It's not a good idea. And that's what Paul's saying. He said, listen, you can't live by the flesh, because if you do, you're not going to have God's best in your life. You can't do that. And if you do it long enough, you're going to get far enough away from God. You're going to sear your conscience. And man, I wouldn't want to be you, because you're on dangerous, dangerous ground. Very dangerous. But it's by the blood of Jesus that the way to heaven is made, and only by his blood, not by your sweat, not by your tears, not by your effort, not by anything you do, except when you accept him as Lord and Savior. Amen? And so when Paul writes this, he's saying that. He's saying, listen. He says, it is these things that are going on. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Your Bible might say it's an enmity. An enmity. That means an enemy of. It's an enemy of God. Your flesh. And he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you're led by the Spirit. He says the acts of the flesh are obvious. And they are sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, that's just doing whatever you want. Idolatry, that's putting anything before God. So before we start pointing fingers, we better take a look in the mirror. And then witchcraft, you know what witchcraft is translated to? Manipulation. It's manipulation. You ever tried to get somebody to believe something that wasn't exactly true because it benefited you? You manipulated them. That's like the definition of a lie. It's not, it's this. This is the definition. You can look it up. It is an attempt to deceive someone. So all that, technically, I didn't lie. No, but did you deceive them? Did you get them to believe something different by leaving out some of the information? You lied. We lied. Because we've probably all done that. But he says here, he says witchcraft, he says hatred, discord, jealousy. Anybody ever see your neighbor's new car and think, that ought to be mine. I want that. That's covetousness and jealousy. Fits of rage. Man, I haven't had a fit of rage in a long time, but I'll tell you what, there was a time, you've all heard my story about the phone, the poor telephone. You know, I mean, I've come a long way. I've come a long way. Amen. Thank God. Phones are safe around me now. They're safe. You know, I haven't broken a phone in a couple days. No, I'm just kidding. I haven't broken a phone in 19 years. No, 20 years. Because I've been married 21 years now, and it was that first year of marriage, and you know, and I was on the phone, and Pastor Scott said something, and I was just like, oh. I mean, my head. I mean, I think my head physically spun around. Amen. And he hung up, and I was just like. And my mouth was going. Next thing you know, that phone's flying. Pastor Scott comes home later. He's like, what'd the phone do? Just like. In my mind, I was thinking, I'm going to kill you. So listen, you know what? I say that for two reasons. One, just to say, listen, we've probably all been in this chapter. Amen. We've probably all been here. And for two, listen, if your marriage is in a bad spot, you may not be breaking phones, but you may be doing something similar to what I was. I'm here to tell you, God can heal it. Amen? God can heal it. You let God do what God does, and that means don't be praying, Father, change them. Change them. Change them. That's not how you pray for your marriage. You say, Lord, change me. Amen? Because that's what I was doing. I was like, Lord, he is so, you need to straighten him out. You know? And it wasn't until I said, Lord, change me. Change me. And I realized that I really was a pretty big problem. But I'll tell you what, it's never too late for a happy ending. I believe that with everything in me. I believe that because of God. Amen? And so that's another message. Let's keep going. And so I just want to encourage you. Don't get hung up in that, because the enemy will come and say, because, you know, we don't have to say what it is. But I mean, all of us in here, all of us have had selfish ambition. You ever been in Publix and somebody's got a really big order next to you and you're both heading for the line and you're like, ooh, I better step it up. Well, you want to get there first, right? You want to go first so you can get out, and so you're going to run over a little old lady to get to the line. You're putting yourself first. That's selfish ambition. And so before we start throwing stones and doing all that kind of stuff, we need to look here, and we need to realize, you know what? He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to have God's blessing. You're not going to have God's blessing. You're not going to have God's good stuff. You're not going to have godliness in your life because you're living by the flesh. And so when we look at that, I want to read a couple of other translations, not translations, verses. Romans 7:19. It says, I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. How many say that is for me, right? Because we've all been here. And so Paul's saying, listen, he's talking to people in the church because he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom. See, so they have freedom. They have it to indulge in the flesh. He's saying, don't look at what God has done. He did away with the law. He did away with the law because he brought the Spirit. And it all goes back to part one of this series. We either choose to eat by the tree of life or the tree of right and wrong thinking. It's our choice. And so whatever we're feeding, whatever we're near, that's going to show up in our life. Just like if all you're doing is feeding the flesh, you're letting yourself do everything you want. Doesn't mean you're not born again, but it does mean that you're indulging the flesh and you are just feeding that flesh monster. And so you are going to have these things in your life. And I want to tell you what comes up when you feed the flesh so much. What time is it? Oh, gotta go. He says, but all of us fall into this. We all have flesh. Look at your neighbor and say, you got it. You got it. You got it. All of us have it. We all have that part of us that wants to do good, but we don't. We all have that part of us that I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But Paul says, listen, don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. We are free from the law. But that doesn't mean we don't have boundaries on our life. Amen? He says, live by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Live by the tree of life. Do that, and it will be obvious. But if you live by the tree of the flesh, it will also be obvious. Amen? The Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. Most of us in here, we know the scripture, you know it. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which means patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Listen to this next part. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Look at this next line. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And so this whole thing, Paul is saying, listen, you're not under the law anymore. That's true. You've been set free from the law. He says, but you've been set free from the law, hold on, to live by the Spirit. That's why we're set free from the law. We're set free from the law to live by the Spirit. But some people are using their freedom and they're staying in the flesh. And then you're crying and saying, why isn't this working? It's not working it because you're eating off the wrong tree. You know, you ever notice in the Garden of Eden, why were they by that tree in the first place? But isn't that how we are? Whenever there is law, whenever there is a rule, we're right there. If somebody says, don't come up and go through that door, do not come up here. Do not come through that door. You are not allowed. Most people in this room be like, why aren't I allowed? What's back there? Why can't I? What are you keeping from me? What are you hiding? What are you hiding? And as soon as somebody's, my back is turned, you'd be like, right? Or you'd be like this through the whole service. You'd be like, I'm not touching it. I'm not touching it. Right? Isn't that how? I mean, as soon as there's a line drawn in the sand, as a don't step on that, you're like, did it. Right? Isn't that how we are? The law provokes. The law provokes. And that's why Jesus, that's why God did away with it. He says there is no law. In a sense, God, now listen, don't walk out of here crazy. In a sense, God said, you can do whatever you want, but the choice is yours. The choice is yours. Isn't that what the Bible says? I've set before you life and death. Choose this day. Choose this day. And then it goes on to say, so that you and your descendants may live. Parents, the choices you make, they affect you, your children, and your grandchildren. Amen? Next time you're going to go somewhere on the computer that you nobody sees, nobody knows, you say, oh, nobody knows. That choice is affecting you and your children and your children's children. Because we need to choose life. But God said, I'm not going to make you serve me. I want you to serve me because you want to. Amen? And so when we look here, he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's keep in step with the Spirit. And so the law was done away with so we could live by the Spirit. But sometimes we goof up between, oh, there's no rules? There's no rules? Right? We forget there's no rules, so we live by the Spirit. There's not no rules, so you can go live by the flesh. You can, that's your choice. But God says there are consequences to that. And those are consequences he does not want for you. God wants the best for you. Amen? And so when we look here, I like what the Romans 6:23, out of a different translation, it's called the Phillips. It says this, sin pays its servants. The wage is death. But God gives to those who serve him, his free gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God removed the law. He removed it because he knew that those rules provoke us. They provoke us into just like Adam and Eve. They're standing right next to the tree. They're right there. Isn't it the truth? You know, just think of our own lives. Whenever you go on a diet, maybe you've never been on one. I've been on a few. You go on a diet. You're like, okay, this is all you can eat. They give you this list. It's like this long. There's like nothing on it. You know, you can have kale and nothing else, it seems like, right? As soon as they give that to you, right, you're like, I gotta have a Chick-fil-A sandwich. You know, I mean, it's like as soon as somebody says, you can't have that, you can't have a Reese cup, that's all you think about is a Reese cup. I gotta have one. I have to have. You haven't had one in a month. I honestly don't think I've ever gone a month without a Reese cup. I just don't think. 21 days, several times, because I've done the Daniel fast a few times, but that's my limit right there. Day 22, right? But the thing is, that's how we are. The law provokes, the rules provoke. That's why rules without relationship do not work. They don't work. And so God knows, and so he did away with it. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 12 out of the Message, it says, just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. Isn't that good? He says, just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. He says, if I went around doing whatever I thought I could get by with, listen, this next part is so good. He said, I'd be a slave to my whims. When we start living towards the flesh, bondage comes back on us. And Paul says, you've been set free from that, but don't use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Instead, choose to live by the Spirit. Because when we live by the Spirit, we don't need the law. Isn't that the truth? When we live by the Spirit, we don't need the law. Some of you are like, I don't know. If I'm living by the instruction and the leading of the Lord and the Word of God, I don't need the law because I'm going to be wherever God is. If I'm living by the Spirit, I don't need 600 laws on what to do and what not to do. I have this living Spirit of God on the inside of me that says, hey, hold up. How many of you ever had the Holy Ghost do that? Yeah. Hold up. Getting ready to say something. The Holy Ghost like, You sure you want to say that? Right? Getting ready to turn right or turn left, you know, going somewhere, and the Lord's like, hold up. What happened? I'm in step with the Spirit. Yes. Isn't that what Paul says here in Galatians 5:26? He says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Yes. I want to keep in step with the Spirit. Amen. And so when I choose to live by flesh, here's the difference between flesh and Spirit, what they produce. Living by flesh, it produces bondage. It produces bondage. I can't tell you how many people that have come and sat in my office and they are in bondage. They are tied up. They are so ensnared by the secrets and the lies and the things that they have got going on in their life that they can't even live anymore. They can't even live anymore. They've told so many lies and they've covered for themselves and they've got so much hidden that they're, and when you do that, you pull away from people because you don't want people to know your truth. So they pull away from their family, they pull away from their spouse, they pull away from their kids, they pull away from God. Because they're living by the flesh. And it's produced bondage in their life. Just like Paul said, just because something is technically legal doesn't mean it's spiritually appropriate. If you let yourself do whatever you want, you're going to be a slave to it. You're going to be a slave to it. But the Spirit of God, it produces freedom. Freedom. You know, I've always had people from church, so don't judge me. I've always had people from church clean my house. You say, you don't clean your house? No, I do not. And I do not apologize for that at all. I do not apologize. There are things that I would rather do without on our budget so that I could come home to a clean house once a week. If I could, I'd do it every day, man, every day. And so there are other stuff that I don't do that maybe you do so that I can have my house clean. It's a priority for me. It's important to me. It's important to my husband. And I've had people say, I can't believe you let people from church clean your house. Aren't you afraid they're going to know something? I'm like, what are they going to know? I'm messy, you know? I got four dogs. I got dog hair everywhere. You know, I got nothing to hide. You know why? Because I do the best I can to stay in step with the Spirit. That doesn't mean I'm perfect, but I don't have some secret lair in my house I don't want anybody to see. Amen? I don't have stuff on my computer I don't want you to see. I don't have that. I don't have channels on my TV. I don't have that. I don't have it. I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm saying that I don't keep stuff hidden. Because there's freedom when you live by the Spirit. Amen. There's freedom when you can just say, you know what, man? I've got people in my life. I've got accountability people. And when I miss it, they know it. They know it. There's freedom. And living by the Spirit. But I tell you what, living by the flesh, it produces bondage. It produces bondage in your life. The other thing that flesh produces is doubt. Doubt. We say, man, I want to believe God. You know, we get a bad report, like, I want to believe God for my healing, but that doubt comes. You know, the enemy comes, you're going to die, just give it up, right? Why bother? You're a goner. It's that doubt. But what does the Spirit produce? It produces faith. Produces faith that says, I will live and not die. I will declare the works of the Lord. God has promised me a long life. Amen? Healing cannot stay on my body. My body's been bought with a price. That's what faith produces. But if all you're doing is eating off the tree, the wrong tree, all you're going to hear is, man, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. This is over. This is done. You know, blah, blah, blah. But when you feed this, when you live under the Spirit, when you stay in step with the Spirit, it's going to produce in you faith. Amen? Some people are like, man, I need stronger faith. Well, then quit feeding your flesh all the time. Isn't that the truth? You know? It's like, you know, and listen, I get it. I've been there. I've done it. You know, there's times where you don't feel good. You just want to just like, I just want to stay here and watch TV all day. I don't want to do anything else. I do not want to speak the word. I don't want to pray. If you pray around me, it's going to make me mad. You act like you've never been like that before. Come on. If you get spiritual, come in here and try to lay hands on me. I'm telling you now, my head is going to spin. Right? What happened? We've just fed our flesh. We just said, you know what? I'm going to camp under this wrong tree, and I'm just going to live here because this is where I want to be. That's flesh. You got to get up. It's okay to rest. It's okay to do all that, but man, you need to put the word first. Let's stay in step with the Spirit. Isn't that a good thing to remember as we're going about our day? Just to ask ourselves, am I in step with the Spirit? Is this conversation in step with the Spirit? Is how I'm treating you in step with the Spirit? Is what I'm watching in step with the Spirit? See, if we do that, we don't need the law. And that's God's plan. The law produces the flesh. The flesh is the law that rules. It produces religion. Religion is how I act is more important than who I know. It's more important. But relationship says it's all about knowing Jesus. It's all about knowing him. Legalism says I have to, but grace says I want to. I want to. And that's why, like last week, when we struggle with these sins, we say, I want to do right, but I just can't seem to. Get your focus off the sin. Put your focus on Jesus and keep walking. Amen? Live by the Spirit. You start living by the Spirit, your life will change. Things that have had a hold on you will be broken. Doubts that you've never been able to overcome will be replaced with faith. Your relationship with Jesus will be stronger than ever when we choose to live by the Spirit. And real quick here, how we do that, we got to listen. We got to see. You got to have a vision of who God is in your life. If you see God as anything but a good, good father, you need an eye exam. You need to get into the Word and say, Lord, show me who you really are. Show me who you really are. Maybe you've heard that he's a taskmaster, that he's whatever you've heard, that he's just a finger pointer and he's just keeping things from you because he's, torturing you or whatever. I can't even think of things because I just don't think that way. You need to get into the Word and see God for who he really is. Amen. Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. If we're going to be in step with the Spirit, we have got to see God for who he is. Number two, it requires you to listen. I got to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. You say, well, how do I know? The most common question I get asked is, how do I know if it's me, God, or the devil? If it's me, God, or the devil? First of all, does it line up with the Word? The enemy does not line up with the Word. Amen? Does it line up with the Word? Does it bear witness on the inside? Does it bring peace to you? If it doesn't bring peace to you, it's not God. Amen? It's not God. The enemy is never going to tell you to be kind to someone. He's never going to tell you to walk in the Spirit. He's never going to tell you to have patience. He's not going to tell you those things. He's going to say, you need it now. You need to be first in line. It needs to be you. Blah, blah, blah. That's what the enemy does. And here's how you know the voice of God. You're his sheep. The more you listen to him, the more of his word you get into, the more you recognize his voice. Just like every other voice. You know, we could put somebody behind the door. We could put Angie back here and have her talk. And Angel would know her voice like that. Why? He knows her. He listens to her. He spends time with her. He has a relationship with her. So he knows her voice. Same thing is true with God. Spend time with him. Have a relationship with him. Get his word into you. So then when you hear it, I know that voice. I know that voice. And then confess daily, you are my shepherd. I hear your voice, and the voice of a stranger I will not follow. Hallelujah. Amen. I say that every day, every day. Lord, I know your voice. I am your sheep, and you are my shepherd. And the sheep knows the shepherd's voice. I know your voice. I know your voice, Lord. You need to confess that. And then last thing, you got to follow. We cannot be led if we're not willing to take action. A lot of people are like, you're sitting here today like, man, that's a good message. That's a good, thank you. Thank you very much. That's a good message, Pastor Peggy. That's a good message. Woo. But you're going to walk right out of here and just do your own thing. You're going to walk right out and go right back to Monday morning the way it was last week. You're going to go right back to listening to your own self all the time. You're going to go right back to feeding on that tree of flesh. Oh, but I want to do this. Who are you to tell me I can't do it? I'm not telling you you can't do it. You can't do it. I'm telling you you shouldn't do it. There's a difference. You want to do it, that's fine. You can do it all day long, every day if you want. But here are the consequences to that. Right, like Dr. Phil says, how's that working for you? Right? I love that. How's that working for you? You know, people are like, well, I'm good. You know, I love, you know, we got relatives. They don't come to church. They don't want to hear anything about the word. And their life's a total mess. And then they're like, oh, I really don't need church. You just look at them like, really? You need something. You need something because what you got going on here is not working. It's not working. Let's get away from being right on the edge, you know? I love it when I used to be a youth pastor and people were like, well, technically, you know, we didn't have sex. Well, you know what? If you got to be technical about it, you're over the line. You know, you got your heart in the wrong and other stuff in the wrong place. That's just in the wrong place. You're missing the point. If you got to be all technical about stuff, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. You're living by the flesh. And we got to make a choice. I want to be in step with the Spirit. Amen. I want to be in step with the Spirit because life is better with the Spirit of God. Amen. It's so much better. So yeah, there are no rules, but the Spirit of God is here. There's no law, but the Spirit of God is here. We don't have to, but man, I don't know about you. I want to. I want to be pleasing to God. Amen. I want God to be pleased with me. I know he loves me, but I want him to be pleased with me too. And that's going to come by being in step with the Spirit. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you so much for just your love, that you love us so much. And Lord, I thank you for your word, that it is a lamp unto our feet, that it lights our path, that, Lord, your word directs us. And I thank you that Father, as we stay in step with the Spirit, as we make a choice to live by the Spirit of God, to forget all about the technicalities and the all that, and just have an attitude change. The Lord, I just want to be close to you. I just want to be with you. I want to love you, not because I have to, but because I want to. I don't want to operate according to the flesh, because I know where it leads. I want to live by the Spirit of God because I know it will bring freedom. Freedom. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Let's just wait on the Lord for a minute. I just believe that the Holy Spirit is just talking to some people on the inside. Father, I thank you that as people have heard this message, that they will be moved further away from that law thinking and deeper in to a relationship with you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never said, Jesus, I want to give you all of me, all of my hang-ups, my mess-ups, all of my past, all of my future, everything. I want to just put it all down at your feet. And in exchange, I'll receive all of you, Jesus. All your love, your forgiveness, your power, your mercy, your redemption, restoration, righteousness. All the list is endless. But most importantly, all receive a transfer out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of you, Jesus. I'll be moved and on my way to heaven, all because of what you did on the cross for me. I receive your act of going to the cross for me. I receive it as mine. I will allow you to pay the price for my sin because you love me so much. That's what salvation's all about, letting Jesus pay the price. So if you're here today and you say, Peggy, I want to receive salvation. I want to receive the forgiveness of God. I want to receive and walk in a relationship with God the Father. I want that. Just raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me. I want that. Anybody like that? I see your hand, honey. Anybody else? Anybody else want to join? For the sake of the one who raised their hand, let's all say this prayer together. Because once you come into the kingdom of God, you are never alone again. The Spirit of God is with you. The church of God is with you. You're never alone. So let's say this prayer with them. Say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came, that he died, that he rose again, all for me. I repent of a life without him, for all my mistakes, and I receive forgiveness right now. I am saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo, isn't God good? He's so good. He's so good. You know that old saying, if it sounds too good to be true, it's probably not? That might be true for everything else, but with God, it's not true. Because when you really think about how good God is, it's like, man, this is too good to be true. But it is true. It is true. He's that good. He's that good. Amen. You know what? We're going to receive our offering. We're going to do communion next week because somebody was super long-winded. I got to talk to that person.